Three, two, one. Oh, this is a podcast about things.
Yeah, I'm like, you're like, deep breath, Mike. Like, this is a stressful thing that we do here.
The pre-show should be its own podcast in itself, which normally just kind of flows over into No Puns Allowed, which is what this is, Adam and Paige.
Yes.
Before we get into all things college football playoff, I'm not sure if you want to rant about anything, but we usually end up ranting about something municipal.
Yes.
Folks, there is still time to not give your loved ones shitty presents for the holidays.
Yes.
Municipal.com. Great gear. They have some new shoes that you and I have been, we've texted about, like that we need to get our hands on. Municipal. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Yes, go to the website. Amazing options for, and you're wearing,
a one that I don't wear often. But it is a cutoff sweatshirt, and this is in honor of the Bill Belichick to UNC rumors. So I'm literally rocking a Bill Belichick municipal shirt today, cutoff sweatshirt in honor of him.
By the way, our podcast has amazing timing because we will spend like significant time talking about something, and that something will happen or definitively won't happen.
It happens.
We extended Billy Napier's contract or gave him new contract life. And then like hour later, it was like, yeah, we're keeping it. So I want to think we helped. So we'll talk about Belichick and then something will happen. But playoff. You and I did a live show. A lot of people watched, apparently, which is great. I always like talking about it days later because we have our matchups and we'll talk about those. But where do you want to start with this? Do you want to talk SMU, Bama? That seems to be the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, I think we can talk about sort of what we expected the committee to do and what they did. I feel like this was a very safe, easy choice with what they went with. I feel like they followed the rules and regulations. I don't know that there was anyone that really could have a like serious argument. I think a lot of this is like, okay, this is what they decided. Now the dominoes are going to fall. The one thing that I will say was really funny that we got off our show and I was looking at, some of the tweets that were going out and by like athletic directors or commissioners of conferences. And a lot of the conversation was around like not scheduling hard non-conference games. And it was funny because the teams that these things were around, so like Alabama, SEC schools, it's like, okay, your losses and the reason that you didn't get into the playoff is not because of your non-conference schedule. It's because you lost in your conference. So that was really funny to me that everyone was kind of roasting the fact that like everyone's like, well, you shouldn't schedule hard ones because you'll never get in. And it's like, no, that's actually not what the committee showed you. What the committee showed you was don't lose your conference games that you're supposed to win, period.
I am... Greg Sankey really pisses me off. And it's not just Greg Sankey, but even Nick Saban kind of alluded to this, and we love Nick Saban. By the way, let me turn on my light. Oh, it's not plugged in. Hold on.
I believe in you. What if I should have noticed. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not like this light does a whole lot anyways.
It really does, though.
All right, there we go.
There we go. See, I'm now illuminated. We can see you. Look how beautiful.
Nick
Saban did talk about it, but he also said, win your games you're supposed to win. Like, win and you're in. That's that. You can't be complaining unless you've won, which is exactly the point. Like, you can't be complaining about this selection when, like, your team didn't win the games they were supposed to.
The points in the 12-team playoff feel so much less important when you've lost to Oklahoma horribly.
Thank you.
And if you've lost three games, like, you could be like, well, this is kind of bullshit. And we're like, yeah, it kind of, but, like, you lost to Vandy. No offense. Vandy was pretty good this year. Or even South Carolina, who we both liked, and I think you and I endorsed more than most. And, yeah, there was some not good on that resume as well. I mean,
right. Ole Miss, same thing. Don't lose to Kentucky and Florida. Don't lose like, Kentucky it's really and Florida. Just not that hard. Don't lose to
Don't lose shitty
teams.
Football games.
Like, and there is valid arguments that were being made. So, like, not every conference championship is created equal. So fair, okay, to say that, like, strength of record and, like, ASU getting a bye is like the dumbest thing of all time. So like, yes, we do need to change the playoff because of that. Yes. And the automatic bid situation is fine, but I think we need to be looking at the buy structure of it. And then also, weirdly enough, and something that really rubbed me the wrong way was when so basically Oregon like has a pretty tough like path. Like the teams that they would have to play to win are a lot harder than some of the other like teams, and they're the top seed. Like they're the top number one overall, and it's kind of looking like they got screwed a little in this. And I thought it was so interesting that the committee doesn't actually look at the slating of like what the games would be or the path at all when they make this decision. He's like, we don't even look at the bracket. All we look at is ranking them and how we're ranking them, and then it just slots in. I understood that in the sense of like not wanting to, like if there's repeat conference games, they're not going to change it, but Oregon was given the number one overall like ranking, and then this is their path to get to a national championship is playing the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then potentially the winner of probably Texas, Arizona State. So you have to play Texas and Ohio State to get, you know what I mean?
So yeah, that's interesting too. So the playoff size is good. The format is terrible, and we should give byes to the most deserving team, and that could include Notre Dame. And Notre Dame should join a conference. This is bullshit, and it's kind of funny that they get punished for it. However, it's really stupid when you're giving byes away for no goddamn good reason at all. You can make conference championships games matter and still give byes to the most deserving teams and still games on campuses. Like, you're close.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about the Oregon stuff, I agree. That is... bad for them, great for us, because it's very compelling. But you're going to have this stuff in a 12-team format. You're going to have a team like Ole Miss. Ole Miss may be a bad example, but Ole Miss, if you were to put Ole Miss in this playoff and say they made the 12 seed, or Alabama or whomever, you're like, shit, this team could beat anybody in this bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have weird shit like that where you're going to be like not rewarded other than a bye, which, by the way, is rewarding at some point. You're going to have to play everybody. That being said, this is fixable. And we did this format when we had five conferences, right? Like, we things have changed. Then we're like, well, no, it's only – it was six auto bids. Now it's five when we eliminated the Pac-12. So they're going to take a scalpel to this thing, and then they're going to take a scalpel to this thing again.
Yeah.
Maybe we run this back one more year as is. But in 2026, because this is basically a two-year thing – it's going to look drastically different.
Yeah, and there's already rumors that there by next year there's going to be 14, by the way. There's already a report that that's something that they're looking into already. So we're going to get more, which is great.
I also just cannot for the life of me understand people screaming from the mountaintops like, we could have used 12. The BCS. Like, fine. And I forget who I saw on Twitter. Like, okay, well, then let's just have the Bills and the Lions play and forget the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
I love
this, and I have not been this excited for a college football like postseason in a while. Like, this is so cool. Like, we were talking about it because scheduling purposes for writing, like
work. So it's fucking crazy.
We get a game next week that's a playoff game. Then we get New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, our playoff games. And then a week later, we get more playoff games. And oh, yeah, then the national championship is the week after that or 2 weeks after that. Like, it's amazing. It's so much good quality football that I cannot wait.
Normally when the season ends, real quick, it's like, Saturdays are open. And like this one kind of is. And then it's like, hey, fucker, back in.
We are back.
In there, yeah.
Have a lot of work to do. The holiday season, I think the week of Christmas is like the most mellow for us. And then after that, it is like full sprint to national championship. One of the things I did want to talk to you about is, I don't want to go over the matchup specifically for the college football playoff because we will do those previews as we get closer to those games. So probably next week we'll do the first round games. But are there any matchups that you're worried are going to be a complete and utter blowout that people will be like, this is why we shouldn't expand?
You're going to have that. We had that in a 4-team playoff, by the way. So, like, everyone piped down. No, well, You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine today who's a Clemson fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we will pick these games. Like you said, next week we'll do a comprehensive playoff pick, which is going to be so much fun. And I don't think Clemson's going to be blown out in this game. In fact, Dabo, as house money Dabo, is like, feels really, really dangerous. Like, they're good. Mm-hmm. They're not a bad team. And Texas is leaking oil. If I were to pick a blowout, I would probably pick Penn State SMU. And I don't even think that will be a blowout. So in terms of point spread, Texas is the biggest favorite, 11 points. Penn State is a 9-point favorite over SMU. And then you have Notre Dame, Indiana, which I think Indiana could win 7.5. And then I don't know what to make of Tennessee, Ohio State. I'm scared.
Scared for Ohio State. Like, I'm scared for Ohio State fans, like their mental well-being if they lose to Tennessee. But I was shocked by how big these spreads were.
Yeah, I was too. We were on our show and I was just shooting out spreads. And the one thing that I really think is throwing it off is home field.
Yeah.
Like, we're used to our postseason games, all of them, bowls and postseasons, being neutral. Mm-hmm. And I think when you think about playing in Happy Valley in like December, like, look, I'm in Chicago today. The low tonight is 6. Okay. Now that's cold for this time of year. But the football weather is going to be football weathering. And if you're SMU, like, that is a thing. But I'm with you. The spreads are big. And I think you'll have big spreads in the second round, too, by the way. It doesn't mean they're going to be blowouts, but Arizona State and Boise State, those teams are likely to be dogs. And they will be dogs to whoever they play. And it may be like a good sized line. Doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know if people are going to use this as a crutch. Like, you said that the regular season wasn't going to matter and you couldn't have been more wrong. And you can look at data ratings to say this matters. I can look at eye and feel and think, and I can look at how many people watched our fucking shows and know that more people cared and more fan bases cared for the first time ever. If you're going to get blowouts, like, look at the NFL playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Like, you have the same problem, and then the games get good, you get better matchups. I mean, I think it was great. I think the playoff did a lot of really things really well. I think it did a couple of things really poorly, and I think they're fixable. And that's what I hope they'll do.
Also, I think we were talking about Oregon's path earlier. There's a possibility, and you mentioned home field advantage. That's why I looked this up. There's a possibility that Oregon could play Texas in Arlington, Texas, in that semifinal game in the Cotton Bowl, I think that's the bowl that they would go to, which is like wild, because that's obviously not that Ducks fans would not, you know, make their way there, but like that is a huge home field advantage for Texas if they make it there. So yeah, there's a lot of things that will factor in to the college football playoff. Any other thoughts on playoff as a whole before we move into the news that has happened this week?
I will just talk about bowl season real quick. I know this is an extension of playoff. I would love your thoughts on this too. Two things. A, I still love bowl season with all my heart, and I love some of these matchups, and I want to see them. I can't wait. The one thing that's really interesting is, like, you've got this, it's like an EKG, right? With your spikes for playoff games, then bowls, playoff, bowls. And so they're like littered throughout. Trying to keep up with the roster news for these games is really fucking hard. I'm trying. I have locks this week. We'll talk about them. I wrote these, and within 24 hours, I believe two of the starting quarterbacks in games were gone in the portal. I'm not bitching, really. I get it. Like, this is the world we live in. But it really makes for tough handicapping. It's a challenge. Yeah. It really is.
I will say the portal is more of an issue than people opting out. Like, people are getting paid to be there. We've already discussed this. NIL. And literally, what's so funny was, I think it was Ashton Gentry on the Micah Parsons show was talking about something. And someone was like, he's like, no, I got money, so I'm good with that. With NIL money. Like, he took them out to dinner, so he got NIL money to do that. So, like, these guys are getting paid. They're totally comfortable. They're paying for $1,000 dinners for his offensive line. But the bowl situation in terms of, like, portal, because the portal opens technically. So, like, you could say you're going to the transfer portal at any point in time, but your name can officially be entered and teams can contact you starting the day after the playoff stuff is announced. So Monday was the first day that everybody could contact them. The last few days have been crazy with people entering the portal and names going everywhere. I feel like with the new expanded playoff, they might need to change that and change the window. I don't know when the right way is to do it after this, but like, I feel like also if you're a playoff team, can you imagine trying to do like roster management right now while you're focusing on like the college football playoff? Like, that's just wild to me. Same with like the early signing day. We've talked about that before. Like, there's just stuff that needs to be adjusted.
They're not coaches. They're CEOs. I mean,
yeah,
truly.
It's just there's so much stuff going on, which actually is a very good transition into the college football news. It's been legitimately more people have reached out to me about this potentially happening than probably any other thing in college football.
I agree.
Which is Bill Belichick possibly becoming the coach of UNC. So we've heard these rumors already. There's been reports that they are working on a deal. The probably most solid report that we have is that they are working on a deal, but they're very far apart on what will actually make this happen. But what are your thoughts in general on just like what this would mean if this did happen? And also, do you think it's a realistic thing or do you think this is just a ploy to try and get an NFL job?
I talked to you earlier in the week. I said my Thursday is crazy. The news is going to break on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to figure out when to fucking write about this. So whenever you're listening to this, just know, sure, Bill Belichick, yeah, you're fucking with my life here. And I am not surprised. As a Jets fan, this is on brand for you. You've been fucking with me for 20 years. So
like,
you and I, no, it's funny though. You and I talked briefly about this and it's like, what do you think? And I have a couple of thoughts. I have no idea if this will work. And that's why I love it, because we've connected dots before. I thought, you look at the, you know, the hirings at a place like Wisconsin with Luke Fickell and even Scott Frost at Nebraska, those hires look like these were going to work. Like, it was like, these are, yeah, great fits. And they don't. They haven't. And you look at something like Dillingham at Arizona State, where like, oh, all right, the guy was good with Bo Nix, but he's 15 years old and he's kind of a psycho and they're in the playoff. So you never really know. You have a guy who's in his 70s. It sounds like the deal is coordinated around getting his kids involved and, yeah, and raising NIL. And I saw, as we were coming on, our former colleague, oh, wow. By the way, would you like some breaking news?
Sure.
Adam Schefter. This is literally 2 seconds ago.
Oh, wow.
Bill Belichick is finalizing a deal to become the new head coach at North Carolina. Sources tell me, Pete Thamel and what's his name? Chris Lowe.
Lowe, yeah.
So it is happening. He is going to be the coach. I fucking love when a plan comes together like this.
Do you take back what you said to him about?
No, I got a dinner tonight, and then I got to go home, and I got to fucking
write. And now you
got to
write.
Fuck. See, it's even worse. Like, this is even worse. So what will my story be? My story will be that this is great for college football. We had a personality. We lost a good chunk of our personalities in Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban, and we've got one, even though he's one of the driest motherfuckers around, in Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Do you think this works? What are your thoughts? But do you think this works?
I hope it works, because I feel like this is obviously going to generate a lot of attention. I think this also sort of changes, like you were kind of alluding to before we got the breaking news, was that this is more of what college football hires will look like as opposed to what the old ways of doing things, despite the fact that I called it the revival season because we've got Scott Frost going back to UCF. I know it's not happening now. There are rumors that Rich Rodder is going to go to West Virginia. People are trying to make things work the best way they can, and they're getting creative, I think, and even going back to the old coaches that they used to have is a part of this whole process. But it starts the like conversation around the landscape of college football, professionalism versus amateurism, and because Bill Belichick is. He's not going to, like, coddle these kids. And I think all of, I think it was his former players, it was Tom Brady, Gronk, and Edelman that were saying, like, he's not going to be great as a college football coach, in their opinion, because of the way that he addresses this. But I think because college football is moving towards a professional setting, these guys are getting paid, it is going to change things and this will probably work. Does it happen overnight? I don't know. But I mean, it's positive for the sport. I think, you know, we've had so much focus on Coach Prime and how he's done things. I think there will be a lot of speculation around how Bill Belichick runs a program, because he's certainly someone who's like a mad scientist and like likes to have control over things. And it's kind of hard to do that with all aspects of college football. That's why a lot of people said he wouldn't take this job, is because, I mean, his best friend, Nick Saban, was like, peace out. This is way too much. The landscape of college football certainly did lean into, or was part of the reason why he chose to leave. So it is interesting to see that he's taking this job. So I hope it is a serious thing where he sticks with it and is a coach and there for a while, as opposed to like a ploy to just get to the next level and coach in the NFL.
I'll be a little critical of him. Again, the GOAT in the NFL. But his talent evaluation was not great. His talent development was.
Yeah.
And he had the best quarterback ever. But when you look at how he drafted, and this is why I think NFL teams, like, I don't know the conversations, but when you look at his, like, roster management, like, you know, they got Randy Moss and they did some great things with Corey Dillon. Like, he was an elite dumpster diver when it came to finding guys that maybe had personality issues or off the field issues, or teams thought they were done, and he maximized it. And then without Tom Brady, like, it's, you could question how he drafted, which is interesting to me in recruiting. Like, this shit is exhausting. I mean, you hear how miserable, and he and Saban are like about the same age.
Cut from the same cloth.
It's cut from the same cloth, very similar. So, but I, and if you're a North Carolina fan, like, what the fuck? Why not?
Yeah,
well,
you might
I'm
as well.
I'm for the spectrum on this take, because this is either going to be a smashing success or an abject failure.
Yeah.
Like, but immediately dads or parents around the country are going to have Bill Belichick come into their homes and be eating out of his hand. Like, he can do what Nick Saban did, which is just sit down on the couch with a couple of Super Bowl rings and say, let's talk about
I developed talent and I get you to the NFL.
I mean, that's incredibly powerful.
That is. That's like the number one reason why people go. That's why, like, when we talked about, you know, NIL and will it balance out like the talent. And I think it certainly has. And we've seen with the SEC specifically how much the gap has changed from just one team to, you know, there's not the Alabama and the Georgia and everybody else. There's still teams that are building out rosters that are really athletic and really good. And I'm curious to see how this affects recruiting, in the sense that, like, UNC is not a place that's, like, known for its illustrious football recruiting. And one, I will say, though, Chapel Hill, one of my favorite college towns that I have ever been to. It is beautiful. It is amazing. So this could be very easy for him to convince people to go there and to play there, because it is, for all of these guys, it is about getting to the next level, player development and all those things. And if you do have guys, that's the part that I think he's going to need to do. He has to relinquish some control of, like you were alluding to, like, he drafted poorly. So, like, he needs to allow other people to evaluate and get him the guys that he can develop, as opposed to being just in control of everything. Because, again, there's so much with a college program that's so different than NFL.
I'm already tired of the recruiting jokes and then people showing his girlfriend.
Yeah, right.
Like, somebody just tweeted at me that now, like, as we're doing this pod. How old is she, by the way?
24, 26.
Your thoughts?
I'm like, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. But I mean, interesting, though, that wasn't it Lane Kiffin that was like, that's how I tell if, like, the guys I'm hiring are good recruiters? Like, I look at their wives and girlfriends.
Yeah, and
speaking of people with younger girlfriends.
Yeah. He just, that dude knows. He's got a PhD in that discussion. I can't wait to watch. Actually, if my life were in a complete total mess, I am excited to write about it, because I really think it's an exciting era for college football. Selfishly, then, broadening it out, and then we'll move on. Like, this sport is blowing up in popularity. And here's a coach who has made a fortune and is making a fortune in the media, willingly, maybe because he doesn't know how terrible this is, deciding that he wants in.
Why? So, yeah, that's why. Like, has no one, I mean, he had to talk to Nick about this. Like, what's the point? Like, you have a cushy job in the media. Why would you, why?
You should hire Saban to coach, like, his DBs. Like part-time. Oh, you know Saban, by the way. There's a relationship there. Your point there is a really good one. There will be information. We'll get reporting on this. You know that conversation has probably happened multiple times. And I would be shocked if Nick was just begging him to get into this pool. But, hey, let's be honest about the state of the ACC right now, right? You got a coach in Mario Cristobal who finds new and exciting ways to fuck things up. You've got Florida State, which is a disaster.
Yeah.
You have Clemson, which has...
probably a ploy to get out of the ACC and to move into the SEC.
And you have Clemson who's fine, but you have a conference that is ripe to be, like...
to be won, yeah.
And to be dominated.
The other thing that I saw Mike Golic Sr. talking about, I saw a clip on TikTok, was that Bill Belichick is 15 wins away from the most ever of a head coach in NFL history. And so he was thinking that this is more of a
North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm like, is this a step stool to get there, or is he actually taking it serious, is kind of what I'm really curious about. Wouldn't you think the ultimate goal would be going back to the NFL? I don't know. Maybe there's some emotional ties. I know that his dad was an assistant at UNC. I don't know. We'll see. There's going to be stuff that comes out. And the good thing about this is we know that Bill Belichick is going to tell us information about this because he has kind of an obligation with his media role right now to like give us the information on why he's doing this, and he's alluded to it. He's like, it's a big if, but
somebody just tweeted at me, and I will give credit, Zach Peterson at Midwest Drummer, September 20th, 2025, Bill Belichick versus Scott Frost. Like, that is incredible. That is amazing. I do want to talk about Scott Frost too, real quick. Unless you have more Belichick thoughts.
No, I have no more Belichick thoughts. By the way, I do just want to shout out the municipal thing one more time that I wore this and he decided to coach.
Got breaking news, by the way. That is huge. Oh, and Juan Soto just passed his physical. She's talking to my dad.
Congratulations to you.
My dad. This will be our random shit because I have thoughts on this. So let's not take up time. However, Scott Frost is back at UCF. Neighbor Jason and I, this was a wild occurrence. Being the former Nebraska coach, I picked Nebraska in way too many games under Scott Frost's tutelage. And oh, by the way, bringing you this full circle with my day job of Golden Tee with Golden Tee in the background, anytime something happens with Scott Frost, the number of people who assume that Scott Frost sucked at his job because he was fucking around playing Golden Tee inside the Nebraska facility there's like dozens of everybody every day. Like, I hope they have a Golden Tee machine. Well, UCF, Scott, just call me. I'll hook you up. This is a weird one. I kind of love it. I kind of love everything about it. At UCF, Scott Frost was a prodigy. He was amazing. This was why the Nebraska fit made so much sense. And then he lost, like, every single game by 1 to 7 points. And I think it's a great move for him. I think it's a great move for UCF. The amazing thing about this, though, Paige, there was no he didn't sark this thing where he went to work under Saban and then he worked his way up. Or no, like, he just disappeared, and then there he is. And he's
waiting
back.
It out.
But this shit is hard. This profession is hard.
Yeah.
We quit on guys very easily. And
we're
guilty of that, too, because we have to. We judge in these small doses. I hope this works. And just because he sucked at Nebraska doesn't mean he's going to suck here. In fact, something magical happened here not terribly long ago. They didn't win a national championship. That was bullshit. But they won a lot of games.
Even though they did technically in their stadium, but they did
that's
not.
That's such shit. God, that's such... Don't get me started. But everything
God,
else
watch
is about
them bring
this...
back... Well, by the way, Mackenzie Milton is also going to be a coach there, which is fantastic, obviously, because many people know his story there and was obviously a very big name. But... just funny. I'm curious if they'll celebrate that and be like the coach of the, what was it, 2019 yes. National champions.
Yes. Yeah. No,
self-proclaimed.
I'm looking forward to this. And Belichick versus Scott Frost. Like, that shit gets me pumped up, man.
College football is the greatest. Like, some of the stuff that comes out of it. Hold on. Let's talk about the... What do you want to look at?
I want to look at UNC's 2025 schedule. Let's do this game. TCU. At Charlotte. Richmond. At UCF. At Cal. At NC State. Clemson, Duke. Stanford, Virginia. At Syracuse and at Wake. They're definitely losing one of those. It's not brutal, but it's not great.
Yeah.
That's like a... There's some, you know, I don't know, TCU at home, that's a big one. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. There's a lot to unpack there.
Well, there's also a lot to wait on. Like, we have Portal, National Signing Day.
True.
Like, the official National Signing Day, Portal in the spring. There will be a lot, I think, that will be impacted by him going there and then other schools as well.
I have other breaking news, if you would like it. Jared Nussmeier is returning to school in 2025. Instead of going to the draft.
So he's returning to school. Is he going to enter the portal or is he staying at LSU?
I think he is returning to LSU.
Okay.
Which, you know me, I love that
Which
guy.
Which I guess makes sense now because the quarterback they were going to have is...
Exactly. Got some budget left over.
I'm sure. Got some budget. Yeah, you got a couple million that you can spare.
Look, and we are a breaking news medium. This is not a podcast. We're just reporting this shit. This is great.
This is amazing. Let's talk about the flag planting news that happened today. We obviously talked about rivalry week last week.
Nailed
and
it.
The chaos that ensued after. But I guess there is now a bill attempting to be passed about that if you plant a flag in the center of Ohio State Stadium, you can be charged with a felony. like, just take the L and move on. This is so lame. This is so try-hardy. I hate it.
This is why I love college football.
That. It's just the best at dumb stuff like this.
No, keep your politics away from our goddamn sport. And stop giving up fucking points and yards at home. And then nobody will plant the flag on your
exactly.
Field.
Win your games and don't worry about it.
Sucks to suck. As I like to say in my household with my kids, my wife does not like it when I say sucks to suck. But it does. Sucks to suck. I mean, that's like, you don't want somebody to plant the flag? Stop giving up fucking yards. Ohio State.
You clip them? My wife does not like me saying that.
No, she's not. Every time I say that, she looks at me. Sucks like, is really? An interesting word in our house, the kids. It's open seasoning now as a parent. You just like start the first time somebody said like the Jets suck, and like Cameron said it, he's five. I like looked at him and I'm like, they do suck, and my wife's like, no, we don't say
that.
Can't
say that. Okay.
And then she like walked out. I'm like, Cameron, the Jets suck.
We're about to have like a random rant in the middle of this. So Kelsey started a podcast and she was talking about how she swears in front of her kids, but her kids know that those are adult words and they don't use them. And she's like, there's certain things that like are just not okay in our household, and like stupid and shut up is like a really big one. Now, when I was growing up, shut up in my household was worse than saying anything else. If you told someone in our house to shut up, you were in so much trouble.
Yeah.
Like that was way worse. And so when Kylie Kelsey was talking about that, that's like how they know that that's like way worse than like all the other things because they don't say the other things because they know they're adult words. But yeah, no, I shut up was very much so I understand sucks. Sucks was also one that my mom was like, no. So there's certain words that certainly are not okay for kids that would normally as an adult would be fine.
Yeah, it's...
Even now, I think my mom, if I told anyone to shut up, would...
No. That
my butt.
That one has been said in our house and like... That's a no-go.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
That's a hard no across the board.
Yes, but you sucks. Are good about... we've talked about this on the podcast before. You may swear on this podcast, but you are very good about not swearing. Like, you can turn it on and off pretty well and know your, like, setting.
Yeah, I've tried. I'm getting a little looser now, especially my daughter's getting older. And what did I say? I was putting together... We're doing the Home Alone Lego.
Okay.
You know, the giant Home Alone house. We have the Lego. And I did a good chunk of it wrong. I did it backwards. And I'm just sitting at the table. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And like they all turn at me. And everybody turns at me silently, like a mouth agape. And I'm like, it's Lego. I'm allowed to say it. Like that was my reaction. And then everyone just kind of kept doing what they're doing.
They were like, okay.
My two oldest, like they're like, they kind of know, like, that's a dad thing. My youngest, though, there'll be a moment in time where he's going to bellow out a big old Jesus Christ, and it will...
And it will be your fault.
He will not get in trouble. No, he won't. And like, part of it, I'll be like, he said, Jets suck. I'm like, yes, they do.
They do suck.
You just got to be selective with where they use this. In our house, safe space, we're not teaching profanity, but...
It happens in front of them, so it's fine. Let's talk about some games, maybe bowl games. Any other newsworthy things that you want to break before we move into some bowl games? We only can go over like three of them because we have another episode before we get to the rest of the bowl games.
Let's talk. Army and Navy is in my locks. We didn't coordinate. Are we doing a locks this week?
I didn't have any prepared, but we can discuss games in the locks that you have.
So my locks for Bleacher Report, go check them out. They'll be out tomorrow. Or right now when you hear this. Let me do some brain stuff. They go through December 24th. Do we want to save some of those? Or do we want to just...
For podcast purposes, let's do...
I do have one odds thing I wanted to run by you. This isn't locks, but it replaces locks. I did want to do the refreshed national championship odds. And I wanted to run these by you. We have a bracket now.
We have a bracket, so...
And this is why I wanted to do it. The favorite to win the college football playoff right now, do you know who that is?
The favorite? Is it still Oregon?
Yes, but they're tied with the team.
Ooh. Hold on. Give me one sec. Are they tied with... Georgia?
Georgia is number three. Georgia.
All right. Is it Notre Dame?
Notre Dame is number six at 8-1. Georgia's plus 450.
Who are you people picking? Is Ohio State still?
Ohio State is number four at plus 475.
Texas?
Texas is plus 360 along with Oregon. Now, I'm assuming.
Did people watch? Is this like them maybe having some insight that Sark's actually going to play
a good quarterback?
Like, what are we? What?
I think a lot of it has to be with the draw. I assume.
I mean, yes, their path is much easier, and like I said, they would get a home game essentially against Oregon if they had to play Oregon.
You know, it's really interesting the odds. So Texas and Oregon plus 360, Georgia plus 450, Ohio State plus 475. Penn State plus 600. I kind of like that. I don't know why. Notre Dame plus 800. I don't think that's bad either.
Yeah.
Tennessee, and this is where it's really interesting. It takes a huge jump. 25 to 1. Indiana 40-1. SMU 45-1. Clemson 55-1. Arizona State 60-1. And Boise State 65-1. So I just found that fascinating.
Wait, so Boise State has the worst odds out of everybody?
Yeah, they do. And they have a bye. And that shouldn't shock anybody. But
I mean, come on.
The two teams with a bye are two of the teams with the bye are at the bottom, which, you know, it is what it is. That is the format. Way to go, playoffs. So I found that interesting. Well, we could talk games, and let's talk a little Army Navy, because I actually this is a bucket list game for me. I will go to this game one day. I need to go to this game one day.
Question for you.
Yes.
Are you a little upset that this game is not a standalone and we have some bowl games
on that day? I'm fucking furious.
I knew this would be something you'd be upset about.
I don't like that. Well, you caught my initial reaction where I learned about this.
Yes.
I don't know if that was on the pod or you got, I think
was
you got
it
the
or was it on the phone?
I forget, but I was
I think
like,
it was on the phone
God
we were talking
damn
about.
It.
Yeah.
Because we have three games on Saturday. We have Jackson State, South Carolina State, and then we have the Salute to Veterans Bowl, South Alabama and Western Michigan.
Yes. We're also, we will make a Heisman prediction at the end of this, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot about that. Shows what kind of year it's been. So, well, let's talk Army-Navy. Those two bowl games, I don't have a ton of huge thoughts on either of those games, but I have a strong thought on Army-Navy. First off, I think this is the best version of these two teams we've had in a really long time.
Yes.
I love watching this game. Actually, my parents come in town, like, or we're usually with them. They're not huge college football fans, but they love this game. I think Army is going to win this game by a lot. I don't know if you have a feel on this, but the line is 6.5. Total is 39, which is, you know, I don't know. That feels low, actually. I wonder if there's weather or anything that I'm missing here. But I think Army is really, really good. Navy played not so great down the stretch. I love Army in this spot. I absolutely love Army in this spot. That quarterback of theirs should be in New York as a Heisman finalist.
Wow. Just saying. That's actually a big thing to say.
No, he should.
So I need to plug my phone in. Or my phone, my computer.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
So we're not losing it. But I do, I agree with you. I think it's just going to be a good game overall. Not to say that those bowl games won't be entertaining, but I do think that this game, with all the pageantry of it, and then also just the fact that these teams have been way better than they have been in years, is going to be really fun.
Should we talk a little Heisman?
Uh-huh.
So the current odds. Now, we have Heisman odds, which is kind of a change, because normally at this time, they're off the board. We have Travis Hunter at minus 2,000. We have Ashton Gentry at plus 800. Dylan Gabriel plus 35,000. And Cam Ward at plus 50,000. So those are your finalists. Again, send more, as many finalists as you can. Make it five every year.
Yeah.
Give these kids a free trip to New York and a spotlight. But this is Travis Hunter's, right? Like, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm curious to see what the vote. Yeah, I'm curious about the vote and how close this actually is. Because I think there was actually a pretty valid conversation around Travis Hunter. Because, again, they sent out, Colorado sent out their, like, Heisman thing, and it had Shador in it as well. And, like, to some people's point that he is being considered one of the best in college football is because of the fact that he does play with a quarterback that is pretty good. That being said, he's a two-way player, and obviously he's played great on defense as well. But it was just an interesting tidbit to kind of discuss. But I am curious how close this actually is between Gentry and Travis Hunter.
If you voted before championship weekend, you shouldn't have a vote.
Yeah.
And that pisses me off. And I did see people voting before championship weekend.
Well, and like give Ashton Gentry credit for like carrying his team. Like they're in the college football playoff. Like, well, I feel like it should be the I don't know. I feel like the nod should maybe go to Gentry, but I know it's going to go to Travis Hunter.
I kind of feel the same way. And I marvel at Travis Hunter. I think he's...
Yes. I mean, amazing. Unicorn, crazy. But again, no one comes close in comparison to what Ashton Gentry did.
Ashton Gentry this year was the football player I wanted to watch most. I would seek out Boise State just to watch him carry the ball. And he led his team, like you said, to the playoff. And in baseball, that I know we do the awards thing, and that matters, maybe less so here. But I marvel at both of these guys. I'm pretty cool with either. I think it will go Hunter, Gentry, and then probably Cam Ward and Gabriel. Cam Ward, by the way, had a magical year, and it's going to go unnoticed because of all the Miami fuckery. And that's a shame, too.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is that by the end of the college football season, when we crown a champion, Dylan Gabriel will certainly be taken more seriously as a finalist in this situation, because I did make a bet earlier in the year that it wasn't Gentry or Travis Hunter, that it would be Dylan Gabriel over Cam Ward.
By the way, Bill Belichick's contract.
Yes, what do we got?
3 years, $30 million, which is really interesting. It's kind of an unserious college football contract. And I
This is so weird.
It's a very weird contract. When you sign a coach, you know, with some conviction, you do it. I don't know, man. That's a weird one to me. This is going to be a lot to unpack.
Jeez. Yeah. This is going to be... I'm scrolling through Twitter now, just like, oh, God. This will be fascinating.
So, is there anything else?
No. What we have to do is now go work. The nature of our job.
Juan Soto, real quick.
Yeah, you can do your random shit. I know you're really excited about this.
It was pretty cool. That's a lot of money, but watching my kids, who unfortunately for them are Mets fans, celebrate is it was a neat moment in our family, and it is an official. It is official now, the contract, which is great. It's a lot of money. It's not your money. The Mets owner, Steve Cohen, owns a statue of a rabbit that cost $91 million. He has an art collection worth $1 billion. You don't think for a second Juan Soto for $765 million, which is absurd.
Yeah, that's like, baseball money is insane.
That's like cushion cash for him. But yeah, the contract's being handed out. It's kind of the same thing we're seeing with football. It's ridiculous. So that's all I have. I don't have any other random shit. Do you have any other random shit?
Not that I can think of. I think we're locked in. This week we've been extremely busy. So I feel like we're kind of on a little bit of a pause for this weekend, and then next week starts the chaos, and it will be chaos every single week until the national championship, which is very exciting.
So we are gonna log off, and then you and I need to talk about writing a story.
Yep. Classic.
But we'll be back next week. We got a playoff to preview. It's actually quite exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. And then lots of other bowl chatter, bowl picks, things will heat up. And who knows? We'll probably know more about this Belichick fellow too. So for Paige, I am Adam. We will talk to you guys next week.